And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live today. We're looking forward to a wonderful day. We're going to study the Word. We're going to talk to some very, very special people, a very special man in my life, Pastor Reg Kelly, pastor of Liberty Faith Bible Church in Norwood, Missouri. He has with him Brother Dennis Martin, and we're gonna talk about God, guns, and liberty. Let me tell you how I sort of got into this topic, how it really started with me. A couple years ago, I started getting emails from a guy, didn't know who he was. And he was, you know, asking me questions and this, that, and the other. And after a while, I could tell the guy was, I don't know, some things that he was saying just didn't sound right. And so I think one of the emails I didn't respond to, I just didn't want to get into it with him. So he sends me an email sometime, I think, around Christmas, a couple years ago, something like that. And he is just going on a tirade against me, and he made a comment in his email that he is going to pray that somebody comes in our church with a loaded weapon and basically kills everybody in my church. That's what he's going to pray about. And I'm just going, whoa, I think this guy crossed the line. So I shared it with Lisa, my sweetie pie, and she said, you know what? I want to get a license to carry a gun. Now, my wife, coming from her, that floored me. I thought, wow. So anyway, I told her, I said, well, you know, we'll both get it at the same time. And her dad got in on it. You always find out new things about your wife. I don't care how long you married. You married to him 50 years. You're going to find something brand new one day when you wake up. I found out after 26 years of marriage. I found out that my wife is an incredible shot with a .22 pistol. She's better than I am at it. She holds it well. She sights it in well. And that just kind of influenced me to never make her mad ever again. And so anyway, that started that. And then we started talking to some of the folks in our church about concealed carry. Missouri is what is known as a shall issue state, which means that they passed this in the legislature a few years ago. And if you meet the legal requirements for carrying a concealed weapon, you have to have a background check. I don't think you can have any felonies against you or anything like that. And if you pass, these few little tests, they make you take a day training, which was it was good for me to be trained in it, and a simple target test. Then the state of Missouri, by law, has to issue you a license to carry a concealed weapon. There was a guy, I think last year, year before last, that he's now sued the state of Missouri. I don't know the outcome of it, but he went to one of the license offices, Missouri license office, where you get your car tags and everything like that. They're all run by a private contractor, and they're contracted out by the state of Missouri. So anyway, he goes into the license office to get, he's already got the paperwork from the sheriff's office of his county. He's already had the background check. He's already put in his fingerprints. He's already taken the test. He has met all of the legal requirements to conceal a gun and carry a license on his body. So he goes into the license office and says, I want to get my concealed carry permit. He didn't know, and I don't know who decided to do this, but this particular license office wanted extra information from him. They wanted his birth certificate. They wanted all kinds of information from him that he was not obligated to give them. And it became obvious that the word got around that there was a database being built of people's names who have a concealed carry license and all the pertinent information about them. And so he said, absolutely not. You're not getting the information from me. And they said, well, we're not going to issue you the license until you tell us the information we asked for. And he said, I'm not giving it. And you're going to issue me the license. And they said, no. So he sued the state of Missouri. Jay Nixon is a liberal Obama Democrat. And I don't know if he had anything to do with it or not, but he basically sued the governor of the state of Missouri. Because Missouri's law says that if we pass the requirements, the state must issue a license. Now, from what I hear, I think Hawaii and possibly some other states is what's known as a may issue state, which means that you can fulfill the requirements, but the state of Hawaii is under no legal obligation to grant you a license to carry a concealed weapon. And so, you know, all these things we've learned in the last couple of years, and I've made it absolutely known publicly that in our church on any given service, there's about 8 or 9 people in our church that are carrying a concealed weapon. That permission. Now, the law of the state of Missouri says that there are certain places you cannot do that. Hospitals, public schools, that's all understandable. And churches, unless the governing body of the church grants permission for these people to carry a concealed weapon. And of course, we do. And it's kind of funny. You would just never notice this unless you were trained in black ops or something like that. But when you walk in our church, the men that are carrying are sitting in strategic places. They're sitting in places where they can watch the two entrance doors. They can, there's a, if you've seen our church service, you know there's a door behind me that goes into the area where the baptistry is, and there's a staircase that leads downstairs. We had a guy, funny thing, we had a guy that did a security checkout for our church. He was a security officer. And he was kind of showing, you know, what we needed to do, you know, this and that and the other. And he said, I see, Pastor, there's a door there behind the pulpit there. And he said, in case something happens, he said, you can exit through that door and be safe. And I told the guy, I said, well, I appreciate what you're saying. And out of due respect, you know, I appreciate it. It's good advice. I said, but if you think that somebody comes in here with a gun, I'm going to go out screaming out the back door like a little girl. You're crazy. I'm gonna protect my wife, and there is a chance, there have been times when I have been carrying a concealed weapon on my person while I've been preaching messages. And you say, well, I didn't know that, Pastor Mike. That's right, because it was concealed. I have a right to do that. But anyway, as all this issue came up, I had to reconcile in my heart and in my mind whether or not I was doing the right thing biblically. Aside from the fact that I'm an American, aside from the fact that my Constitution guarantees me the right to keep and bear arms, and that right will not be infringed. By the way, I found out something in doing the research, and I've shared this publicly. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States does not grant American citizens the right to keep and bear arms. It protects the right that is already there. And that right, as the signers of the Declaration of Independence noted, that right was given to us by our Creator. And it is an inalienable right, which means you cannot and you should, the government should never alienate the citizen from the right. They should never do that. There should never be an instance where the government separates a citizen of the United States from their right to arm themselves and to carry some sort of armament on their person in protection of their body, in protection of their family or their property. That right is given to us by our Creator. And once that dawned on me, I went then into the scriptures. I wanted to find out for myself what the Bible said about God's people. Now, we know the enemy is going to carry arms. We know that they're going to weaponize themselves. But what about God's people? You see it in the Old Testament. I wanted to see it in the New Testament, and it's there. And so God led me to do, I did a couple of videos. We have them on DVD if you'd like a copy of those, God, Guns, and Liberty. And I just went line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and I laid out the case of why Christians ought to be allowed, and Christians do have the right given to them by God to defend themselves, to defend their family, to defend their property if need to. And you also see in the scriptures God's providence over people defending their freedoms and their country. And so that's on DVD. One Saturday, I got up, and Caleb and I were going somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And there's something came into my heart about having a conference, advertising it in the paper. And the name that came to mind was Pastor Reg Kelly. I've known him for several years. He and I have been at conferences together. He's preached here. I've preached there. By the way, we just worked it out. I talked to Sweetie Pie. I will be at Liberty Faith Bible Church on Sunday, May the 4th. That is in Norwood, Missouri. I'm sure a lot of you go there on vacation. And I'll be there teaching Sunday school, Sunday morning service, and Sunday night. And if you can make your way down there, we'd love to see you down there. I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, Pastor Reg's name came to my heart immediately. And so I called him on the phone, and I asked him. I said, Pastor, I've got an idea in mind here. I want to have what's called a God, Guns, and Liberty Conference. And I said, it's going to be a one-night thing. I'm going to advertise it heavily in the paper. And I said, would you be interested in coming up and speaking at that event? And I remember his response. He never even thought about it. He said, absolutely, I'll be there. He was for it, and everything like that. And so I have him on the line. I want to ask him a few questions here in a little bit. But there was a situation in the St. Louis area that really got my attention a few years ago. And I had mentioned this on the Watchman broadcast. A church over in Illinois, just on the other side of the river, a church in Illinois, large Southern Baptist church, as the pastor was beginning to deliver the Sunday morning message, a man stood up in the church and walked down the aisle and toward the pulpit. Now, Brother Reg will tell you, I'll tell you, us pastors get excited when someone gets up and starts coming forward, especially at the beginning of our message, because we're thinking, all right, boy, God's really moving and people are coming down to the altar already. And I've seen that happen before. So this man gets up and he walks down to the front. The pastor then comes around the pulpit and looks at him and says, sir, can I help you with something? The guy pulls out a pistol and blows that preacher away, kills him in front of his church people. Big, big, terrible thing. Pastor Kelly, a similar thing happened there in Norwood. I don't remember how many months ago was it. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that particular situation in that church where someone came in the church firing a weapon.
Hi, Mike. Brother Mike, it's good to be with you. Yeah, that's a few months ago, actually probably getting 20 years ago now, not at our church, but at another local church there. In fact, several people that attend there, friends of mine, just a good bunch of people.
And it figures. The line dropped to Brother Reg. Let me get him back on the phone here real quick. While we're waiting on that to happen, let me just kind of briefly let you know a little bit about what happened. A man came in to the church down there in, I think it was in Norwood, Missouri. I think it was a Southern Baptist church, and came in, and he basically opened fire inside that church. And we're waiting for an answer from...
Thank you for calling Earth Outdoor Products and Kelly Real Estate and Auction Company.
And I got voicemail. Hang on, we're going to try it again. Try it again. This is actually the first time I've ever tried to interview somebody on the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. And here we go. I need Pastor Reg again. We got disconnected.
Okay, give me a sec.
By the way, while we're waiting on him to get on the line, let me show you their website, earthoutdoorproducts.com. Let's see. Let me go to that there. This is their website. The website is earthoutdoor.com, earthoutdoor.com. And I went down to their plant, and I was very impressed at what they're doing. They build multiple products down there and things like that. Pastor Reg, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm back. We're down here in hillbilly land, and, we just get connections every once in a while. Where did I get cut off at,
You were just starting to talk about what happened at that, what was that, First Baptist or Norwood there?
Yes, uh-huh. Basically, a young man walked in. They had ministered to this young man in the past and so forth, but aside from that, all the issues, he just come in, totally unexpected with a firearm. And I think shot, did he shoot three times, Dennis? I think he got all three shots. Was attacked, or in other words, was taken down by some men there in church. They did a great job. But that was probably not over three-quarter mile from our church, less than a mile from our church. And so if this can happen anywhere, it's repeatedly happening. As I said, we're not living in Andy Griffith days.
Right.
It's not Mayberry anymore. It doesn't matter where you're at in America. And as this country loses its biblical foundation, as the people get away from the Bible and the resulting blessings of peace that come, you know, and safety and security that comes from a biblical foundation, culture, and society, we're going to see increased violence. And as a result of that, then that causes us to take another look at, okay, as you said a while ago, as Christians, where are we at in not only civilly in our Constitution and laws, but biblically, where are we at? And I really want to say, first of all, thank you for having this program. I think there's a great desire of people across the country to know, you know, where am I at biblically? I was in a court having to be called into jury duty this week, and a man stood up in jury selection and said that he could not pass judgment on another human being for any purposes. And I thought to myself, I'm glad everybody's not like that, because criminals could just go around shooting and killing everybody and raping, and nobody could pass judgment on anybody.
Yeah.
And so we need to get a good balance. We need to get back into Scripture, know where we stand scripturally, and because we're living in the days, as Jesus said, as Noah, and the Bible said, it was violence continues, you know, just violence. And as this country moves away from the Bible, as you know, and your listeners, I'm sure most of you know, as we're moving away from our biblical foundation, we're going to see more violence, more craziness, more satanic, demon-possessed activity. And so I hope the result of this program is to just help people get secure in their biblical knowledge of, hey, what is my not only privilege, or what can I do, but what is my responsibility as a father, as a husband, as a citizen, as a church member, as a Christian in this country? So, Mike, thank you for letting us be on. Brother Dennis Martin is with us here today, and I'm really glad he's here, because he's a guy that really knows the tech stuff. I'm just kind of from a spiritual side
right.
of this thing, but we're thankful that you invited us to be on today.
Well, it's a subject that has been in my heart ever since I was confronted with the issue of whether or not someone would actually dare come inside of a church. And you mentioned not living in Mayberry anymore, and that is exactly right. If you, you know, the old Andy Griffith show, Barney walked around with one bullet in his shirt pocket, and of course he never really had an opportunity to use it, and that was then. But we are under a very, very dark cloud in this country. Think of all of the places in America where there has been a mass shooting that could have been averted in some way or some fashion by someone other than law enforcement who was carrying a weapon. Think of the school shootings. Think of the Sandy Hook shooting. Think of the principal of that school did everything that she could with her small frame to stop this man from killing more children. The only weapon that she had on her person was her own body, and she gave that body as a sacrifice and try to stop this man from killing any more kids. Had there been people trained, I believe that they should be trained. I believe anybody who carries a weapon should have some sort of training, and that's biblical. David said, Lord, teach my fingers to know warfare. Teach my hands how to fight. God said in the book of Judges that the reason why he left some of the Canaanites in the land was to teach that second generation from Joshua that had not fought the wars to get Canaan land. God left them in there to teach them how to fight a war, to teach them not only how to fight, but how to win. And so had somebody in that school been trained to carry a weapon and had a weapon on their person, we would have seen less death there. These movie theaters tell you, we don't want you carrying a gun in here. Well, the guy that goes into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, didn't read the sign. And so he goes in there shooting and taking people out right and left. Had someone been in there in that theater carrying a weapon, that most of that could have been averted. some would say, well, exactly. you might hit somebody, you know, that, you know, might take out an innocent life. Hey, that's what that guy's there for. Now, there was a mall shooting here about a year or so ago, a couple years ago, something like that. This didn't make the headlines because NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN are not going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the social, liberal, democratic stance on guns. We need to get rid of all guns. A guy goes in there and he starts shooting in a mall. Now, I will tell you that on Friday is Sweetie Pie Day. I go walking around with Sweetie Pie wherever she wants to go. We'll go to the mall. I'll go in there with her. Nine times out of ten, either she or I are going to be carrying a concealed firearm inside of that mall. A guy goes into this mall. He starts shooting. A man who was armed and had a concealed carry license, had a concealed weapon on his body, pulled his gun out, and the shooter took off and run. And they caught him. That man saved who knows how many lives because he was in the right place. He was armed. He was ready to go. He had been trained. He knew what to do. He knew what not to do. And he averted something. Now, there is always a spiritual side to this, and we're going to get into that later on. But I want to ask Brother Edge, first of all, when you came to our God, Guns, and Liberty conference, and you stood up there, and you made the announcement, and I saw jaws drop all over Bethel Church. That just stunned me. The announcement that you made at our God, Guns, and Liberty conference, and we have that conference on DVD if anybody would like a copy of that. But anyway, you announced that your plant there, Earth Outdoor Products, was going to start manufacturing ammunition. Now, the question I want to ask you is, how did this come about? How did the Lord lay it on your heart to start manufacturing ammunition?
Okay, what happened was a good friend of mine who's with me here today, Dennis Martin, he is a gun dealer. He works gun shows across the country, and he's just involved in selling guns and ammo and all the stuff that goes with that. And I was aware that he was into that and so forth, and he and I guess my sons got to visiting and, just really didn't have any big intention about it. But just got to talking, and one thing led to another, another thing led to another, and some discussion about, hey, you know, what would be the potential of getting an ammo machine and making ammo? Because going back to what you said a while ago, and I'll just inject this and then try to keep going, is that the same thing spiritually is manifesting itself physically now.
Amen.
Satan is trying to disarm this country spiritually, but we have no defense against the onslaught of evil and destroying our families, our homes, and our lives, and sending people to hell.
Yeah.
And the same, so now this de-arming spiritually is manifesting itself physically. And so we begin to really understand, you know, we're living a new day. I personally believe that our country is headed toward anarchy and chaos,
right.
Unless we have a revival there's two worlds in America now. But anyway, being aware of all these things and seeing all this stuff that was happening, and I won't lie about it. You know, we looked at it monetarily because any business venture we do, we want to be solvent monetarily. And it looked like, hey, you know what? There's two bases of this thing. We create jobs down here. We try to, you know, we're just trying to make a living. But we said, you know, one of the best things we could do for our country is to manufacture ammo and to help people get armed in this nation. So, as a result of that, they went out to Las Vegas to the SHOT Show, looked at various machines and equipment and things, and we wound up ordering a machine that it'll put out bullet about every second, and we manufacture 5.56s right now. And then we've moved, since that time, we've moved into 9mm and 380 ammo that we manufacture too. So it came about as a result of a man who was, you know, deeply involved in the ammo and firearms industry. Go to church with him, friend, and we just got to visiting and said, hey. And pretty soon it was like, let's do it. So when we got ready to do it, you mentioned to me about the obstacles we ran into. There's such a demand for ammo manufacturing equipment that by the time you get into your governmental regulations and so forth and licenses and issues and all that kind of thing, it turned into a long-term product. But we are making ammo, and we thank the Lord for that. So But it's a tough deal. I mean, it's not easy. I'm telling you right now. I mean, if you decide somebody listening wants to do it, you better get ready to ride a rough bucking horse for a long time to get there, because it's that's the idea behind the whole thing. Is we want to. I don't know. I get a kick out of helping arm American people, because I think it's coming.
Amen.
I think people better be ready. And right now we're seeing the chaos in our inner cities that Dennis was just talking to a while ago about. You know, they're getting zoned off in these gangs and stuff, and I've talked to people that live outside of St. Louis, up there near you, who've told me they're just armed to the teeth, because they said, Reggie, if this thing breaks down, they'll be coming out of these cities. It won't be fun. It's going to be a slaughter. I mean, we just will be honest about it.
Yeah,
I'll quit rattling.
Well, I agree with that.
How we got into this thing. This is Brother Dennis Martin.
Yeah.
He manages EOT, and he's the guy who really knows what's going on.
Brother Dennis Martin is the operational manager of Earth Outdoor Tactical. I've been to your shop down there in Mountain Grove, Missouri. When Cy Robinson was down there, me and my family went down there, and I was very impressed. All I knew that was going on in the shop there was you guys were making, they make many products down there. You guys manufacture outdoor wood furnaces and things like that. And then I walked to your gun shop, and I was just very, very impressed with that. Brother Dennis, if you could maybe describe, I know Brother Reg and I have talked since the time he announced that here at Bethel. He and I have talked on a few occasions about the process of what you had to go through to be able to make your first bullet down there. If you could maybe describe for this, because I think what you're doing is right. I think it's a good thing. And most of the people that are listening today and will listen to this later as it's posted online, we have an understanding, or we have an idea that there are powers that be that do not want the American citizen to be armed. And so when you or Brother Reg was starting to tell me some of these obstacles that was going on, I'm going, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Dennis Martin, would you sort of just kind of explain some of the roadblocks that you guys got into when the decision was made, okay, we're going to start doing this. Here's what we need. We need to do this. We need to do that. What are some of the things that happened between that time and the time you first started making ammunition?
Well, the first thing you have to do, of course, is get licensed by the federal government. And I had been licensed for the sale of firearms for several years, and so we had to apply for new licenses for the manufacture of ammunition. We also applied for licensing for the manufacture of firearms. And the process was, the same as I had been through before, but this time they held our license back for several months.
What was their reasoning for that?
They had some reasons that didn't really make sense to us.
Really?
We just kind of stayed after them until they finally issued our license.
The government not making sense about something, really?
Yeah. Anyway, we finally got through that process. Of course, you got to have that before you really want to get too involved in purchasing anything. Then when trying to get our machine, we were supposed to have it in about 4 months, and that took about 9 months to get through that process of getting the equipment. During this period, the components begin to dry up.
And, explain.
Still hard to get today.
Yeah, explain that. What are you talking about when you talk about components?
We're talking about the brass casings, the bullets, the primers, the gunpowder. These are all the components it takes to manufacture a live round. And all these components have been hard to come by, because the ban, for one, Homeland Security has put purchase orders into the system for billions of rounds. Okay.
Yeah.
So that put a lot of demand on. Of course, we've been in war for many years.
Right.
So demand was already high for ammunition.
But we've never been at war with the IRS. So why is the IRS, that's been the question on a lot of people's minds, why is the IRS buying millions of rounds of ammunition? Why are some of these other, the Department of Agriculture, We're not at war with the Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Agriculture doesn't seem to me to be at war with anybody. Why are they buying millions and millions of rounds of ammunition? And so go ahead, Brother Dennis. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, we're seeing POs actually from just about all departments in the federal government buying ammunition that has no need of it, that doesn't have agents that are even carrying firearms. Department of Education, buying firearms and ammunition. I mean, we're just seeing a lot of that. Anyway, this has put an unusual demand because you don't just start up overnight making ammunition or making firearms. It's a process.
Right.
And as a manufacturer, if you take Remington and Winchester and those guys that are the mainstream manufacturers, they're looking at millions and millions of dollars if they're going to go out here and build a new plant. And not knowing if this demand is going to continue, they're not really willing to do that. So, manufacturing as much as they can. And so anyway, we wanted to step in, try to fill the gap.
Right. At one point,
of arming, as Brother Red said, we want to arm our neighbors.
Right.
Folks, I traveled around several years to a lot of gun shows, and we sold guns cheaper than what they could typically buy off the street. And they always ask us, why are you selling guns so cheap? And I said, just trying to arm our neighbors, So anyway, we are up and running now. We are still having trouble getting components. I mean, we can't just buy everything we want. But we have been able to maintain production for the most part.
If I remember right, I was speaking to Brother Reg one time in the process of all this. He had mentioned that initially you guys had a contract with a company, and we don't have to name the company. You had a contract with a company to supply brass for your ammunition plant down there. And all of a sudden, they sent word and said, we can't honor the contract. Was that an American company, and why do you think that all of a sudden they just pulled out of the deal, or did I hear that wrong?
Yeah, that was an American company, and the problem was that their sources for that brass, they were a processor, and so they were buying once-fired brass from the military.
Okay.
And they had contracts with the military that they backed up on. So.
Wow.
That's why they couldn't fulfill the contracts they had, is because all of a sudden their source dried up. And there was, when we contracted with them initially, they had 50 million pieces on the ground ready to go.
Wow.
And because of our delay in getting our machine and such, we were trying to back it up as much as we can. But by the time we needed the brass, they didn't have anything left, and they didn't have a clue when they were going to get any more.
Let me ask you this.
They have since then solved that situation, but... brass is pretty readily available, but the other components are not.
Mike, let me jump in here just a second.
And go ahead.
I know there's been a lot of discussion as to why is ammo so hard to get. Like, you can't really get 22 bullets and so forth. But I really do believe because of the movements and the action, the purchase orders of the various federal bureaucracies and agencies, that, it's kind of like in the legislature. If you want to kill a project, you dry up the money.
Right.
You take the money away from the bill or the law, and that's the way you kill it. If you want to disarm the American people, you don't go around saying, you folks can't have any bullets. What you do is you begin to dry up the powder. You begin to dry up the primers. Or you make the manufacturers of primers manufacture primers that only last or will be good for 3 years so that no one can store.
Right.
What I believe... And I'm just be blunt about this. We have an administration, the liberal, democratic, progressive group of people in America.
Amen.
Because of their willful ignorance of Scripture, which makes them willfully ignorant of human nature, because they're unbiblical, they believe in this, they're going to bring peace, and they're going to bring peace by taking everybody's freedom away. And so their idea is that they really do believe, down in their heart, I mean, if you could get Eric Holder and Obama to tell the truth, they believe people ought to be disarmed. They really do. And
right.
It seems like now, I mean, McCaskill and Nixon, as you mentioned, I mean, it has taken over the Democrat Party. And they don't believe people ought to be armed. And so their philosophy of life is based on humanism. So they know that just to fly up in the face and say, that hasn't worked for the last 20 years trying to disarm the American people. What I believe you're going to see is a slow drainage of ammo componentry, such as powder primers particularly, because if you don't have powder, you're done.
Yeah.
I don't care how much brass you got, you're done. So that's what I see, and I do believe there's a concerted effort. And I'm not trying to be radical or nothing like that, but, I mean, look at it. What do they want? What would the Democrats do today in the legislatures of America if they could?
If they could.
What laws would Holder and Obama pass and sign and implement if they could?
Brother Reg, let me cut in here real quick. You mentioned Eric Holder. There's a video that he did back in the 90s. You can tell that his age is quite a bit. He did a video there
right
where he said...
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, he said that... The goal was to brainwash America, his words,
yep.
Brainwash and re-educate the American citizens so that they will give up their guns. And what you're seeing here, in the St. Louis area, there was a boy who made a gun with his finger and his thumb on the playground. They kick him out of school. A child eats a Pop-Tart for breakfast, and... in eating the Pop-Tart, it ends up in the shape of a gun, and they discipline this child. There was a young boy in a school district in the St. Louis area who was deaf, and he signed language. He was about 4 or 5 years old. He used sign language, and he was very good at it. And in the process of spelling his name in sign language, his hand would make a gun. The school had a policy that you can't do that. And so they told those parents and that boy, he must come up with some other way of signing his name or anything with that letter in it, because we cannot allow him to make a gun with his finger and his thumb in this school. And what is obvious and clear to me, Brother Edge, I grew up in a house where my dad had guns in a gun cabinet, and he never had to lock them up. Our forefathers grew up with a gun over the fireplace or standing by the front door. It was loaded. When my dad passed away, I went through my dad's guns. Of course, Mom was nervous, and I unloaded every gun that he had, because he had them all loaded there. And I think there is a concerted effort in this country to brainwash children. So I think it's a slow process, but it's a deliberate process. You brainwash children into believing that guns are evil. You one step at a time, one grade, one level at a time, dry up the source, as you mentioned, here in Herculaneum, a town just about 5 or 6 miles north here of Festus, the last remaining lead smelter in the country, right alongside the Mississippi River, shut its doors over quote-unquote environmental concerns. And so, to my knowledge now, there is no other lead smelting company left in the United States of America, unless I'm wrong. They are drying up the lead, they're drying up the powder, they're drying up the brass, and so it seems to me like they're saying, go ahead and get all the guns you want. We're just going to make sure you don't get any ammunition.
That's it. That's your deal. That's the easiest way. I mean, basically, without ammo, you've got a stick in your hand.
Right. And they have all the ammo. The government is buying up the ammo right and left. They're not using our tax dollars, because we don't have them anymore. They're using our debt. They're going in debt, purchasing all this ammunition. For what reason? These guys don't carry guns. Why is that? And so I'm going to ask you this question, Brother Ridge. Do you foresee... and I think I ought to know the answer to this. Do you foresee a time when it may become necessary to use arms to defend the inalienable rights that we have in this country? And I keep in mind this simple fact. America is the last holdout. We're the last place in the world that still has these freedoms. Do you foresee a time, whether your lifetime or your son's lifetime or your grandchildren's lifetime, when it would be very plausible for them to use force to defend their life, their liberty, and their property?
Well, you said you probably knew the answer to the question. Yes, I do, and I think we're much closer to it. I mean, I think it could explode at any time. I pray it doesn't.
Amen.
But I do think we're headed for a collision course between two ideologies, the Christian, biblical-based culture worldview, as opposed to a progressive, humanistic, satanic worldview. And these are not compatible. They never have been. You can't go anywhere on the globe that they are. And so, yes, I think we're headed on that. And so, as a result of that, I think it's imperative that the American people be armed and be ready. That's what the Second Amendment is all about. I think we have a political, even to a degree, great degree, satanically spiritual entity in this country who is bent on destroying the freedoms of America. And you will see the very people listening to us. When the guns are gone, the rest of it will be gone. Your Bibles will be gone. Your churches will be closed if you don't preach what they want. And it's over with. I mean, I'm going to bring up a subject here that people need to connect with this. The sodomite movement.
Right.
That is the most... it's another attack on the freedoms of America and to shut up the mouths of people who believe in freedom, who are God-fearing, biblically-based people. This whole agenda is all put together. And, yes, I believe literally that we better be armed and that... Think about what would... Let's just do something. We've got 3 days' supply of food in America on any given time.
Right.
3 days' supply. Okay. Now, this morning, I found out that we're spending $60 billion a year for our pets. Of which,
yep,
$30 billion a year is food for our pets. You've got all this environmentalist movement against agriculture, against animals. You've got your PETA people, your animal rights people, your environmentalist people, who basically just want to bureaucratize everything and destroy freedom. And in the process, what they're doing is destroying productivity. So let's say God sends a drought on this country, which I wouldn't blame him. He did it in
his
day. Let's say he sends a drought. Let's say global warming really kicks in for Al Gore, and God dries this thing up. I'm telling you, when people don't have food on the shelves, you know what happens right now when an ice storm comes?
Oh, yeah.
They run. And so if we get a drought, now listen, 2012, we had a pretty good drought. If we'd have had last year and then the winter that followed with that, it's unimaginable what would happen. But let's say that God dries the water up in this country and we're not producing food. Let's say he sends plagues and diseases through cattle and livestock and chickens and poultry and so forth. And let's say that there's no rain and the wheat harvest is nothing and the corn is gone. And you can't imagine when these people get that kind of situation. And let's say that the dollar continues to do what it does internationally, and let's say that the dollar is replaced as a world currency or dominant currency with something that the Chinese and the Russians come up with, and all of a sudden our dollar collapses and our economy collapses, and the money that you have in your pocket, which they're printing over and over, is worth nothing. I say all this to say it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen fast. Nobody, I don't care how smart everybody thinks they were, I don't think very many people saw 2008, that deal coming. And so
right.
It can happen. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to have people, all the vegetarians in New York City are going to be eating each other. They're going to become meat eaters.
And they
Amen. Will kill each other, and they will eat each other. And people will come out of the city because there's no food there. Where are they going to think they're going to get it? There's cows out yonder. There's squirrels. There's deer. They're going to do anything, and people will turn into animals. Now, I recognize that an individual family would have a hard time defending themselves against, 50 or 100 people who are in a gang moving up and down highways and down roads. But what I do believe will happen, and I would suggest and encourage people, is there ought to be some kind of, especially in churches or communities, where there's a united front that guards that would, in the case of an event like this, that you're prepared, you're armed, you're organized, and you're ready. Now, we're not talking about some paramilitary anti-government movement here. We're talking about using some common sense that, hey, this could happen, and if we're not armed, we'll get slaughtered.
Amen.
We'll get slaughtered.
Pastor Reg, let me
tell you something a little scary here.
Go ahead.
I just want to tell you how bad you talked about the deprogramming and education and the brainwashing. Right here in our town in Mountain Grove, I asked the question to the mayor, to the chief of police, and his first deputy, that if the federal or the state government ordered them to confiscate guns in their jurisdiction, would they do it? You know what they said? Without question,
wow.
We would do it.
And I was stunned, and I stood up, and I told him, I said, listen, you realize that you would be in violation of the Constitution of the United States, that
right.
you'd be putting blood on the street? And they said they didn't care. And I gave them a copy of the Second Amendment. They said the chief of police said he didn't care. Now, the mayor didn't say he didn't care. He just said he would. He said he told me he's got an AK-47 and 2,000 rounds. He said, I hate to do it, but I'd turn it over. I said, where are you guys at? Now, that's right here in this town that I'm sitting in at this phone call. That's how bad this thing has gotten. People don't know the Constitution. They don't know the Bible. And they're in a mess. And when you've got local police officials saying, so again, could this happen? Do we need our arms? What are you going to do when the police, if the police come out and say, give us your gun?
Right. But brother,
so I do believe that. I mean, listen, Brother Mike, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I didn't believe it.
Right.
I believe we're there.
I
believe this thing could trip so fast. I pray it doesn't. My God, I pray it doesn't.
You know,
I would be lying to my heart, you know, if I said that. Now, all you got to do is just look at human history. We don't live in it. We're not in heaven yet.
Right. Amen.
We're not in the millennial reign. This is an evil, sin-cursed, terrible world. Just this recently, we had a 10-year-old girl abducted by a high school coach or a public school coach up here in Springfield.
I mean,
he shot her, you know, within, 4 hours of abducting her. And, I mean, we've got violence everywhere. And again, I go back to this thing of we need to know where our children are at. I just come off of a jury duty situation where, you know, it's pitiful, terrible, horrible crime. And I'm telling you, fathers need to be trained. They need to be prepared. They need to train. I bought all the women folk in my family a Taurus Judge. And it's got, it's got the slugs and the buckshot both. So they don't have to aim real good.
Right.
You know, they just point in the general direction, and it will put people away. And I tell my daughters, I say, you don't even blink. I do not intend to see my daughters abducted, raped, throats cut, dismembered, and put in a ditch somewhere. Not going to have it.
Pastor Reg, let me read
until we stand up as American people and say, no more.
Let me read an email. Let me read an email. That's all right. It's good. It's good hearing from you. Let me read an email that's come in, and this is done with all love and respect. In fact, she writes, with all love and respect, I don't get what you're saying. Does not Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, KJV, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then her comment is, dear brother, instead of loading ammo into guns, we need to be on our knees in fervent prayer. And she does write it very respectfully. Let me address this from my point of view, and then I think you've already answered, but I'll give you a chance to respond to it. Then I've got another email question from somebody coming in. From my point of view, Danielle, the lady that wrote the email, from my point of view, I resigned many, many years ago to not worry about my life. I just asked God in prayer, God, I want to die when you say die. And if it's all right with you, I would love to just give my life for your kingdom's sake. That's what I want more than anything. So I tell myself, Mike, you're a walking dead man. You're a walking dead man. You might have a target on you. Somebody might take you out. I'm ready for it. I'm there. But I also, as the husband, the leader, the strong man of my house, my wife is weaker than I. She is weaker than most men. I have a God-given responsibility. God makes men in their frame to be stronger and taller and mightier than their women. I have a responsibility to absolutely protect with my own life, if necessary, to protect my wife, her chastity, to protect my daughters, to protect my sons, to protect my grandchildren. I always tell everybody, my sons-in-law, they're on their own. They can protect themselves. But I have an obligation to protect them. I have an obligation because if somebody hates our church, it's because they hate Mike Hoggard. They don't like what I'm saying. It's not that I'm doing something. They don't like what I'm saying. If somebody were to come in Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri, with a weapon, with the intention of doing harm, I have to assume that they are going to go after the people in my church, or they're going to find the easiest targets. And I have a responsibility to not drop and pray. I mean, I'm praying right now. It never happens. But if somebody comes in, I have an obligation to protect the dear old ladies in our church, to protect the children of our church, to protect the wives of our church, and to protect that. I have counseled with both the Festus Police Department and a fellow on the Crystal City Police Department. They both have jurisdiction here in this area. I've counseled with officers from both sides, and they said, sounds like you're doing the right thing. Take care of it. And I told him, I told him about that situation that happened down there in Norwood. And I told him, I said, down in Norwood, they tackled the man and got his weapon away from him. Here at Bethel, we would not have tackled him. We would have hurt him. And the officer told me, he said, just shoot him dead and get it over with. That way he's not a continued threat, because let's say that he lives and he gets out of prison in 5 years. What's he going to do? He's going to come back with a vengeance. And so
I think, Mike, go ahead. Things, I appreciate the email from the lady, but this is one of the things you get into. A lot of people talk about the same thing with authority. They act as if Romans 13 and Hebrews 13, that anything that's passed, done, or said, that we're just supposed to cave into it. That's not true. We need to rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
There is a place. I mean, we're not talking here about aggressive going out and attacking people and stuff. We're talking about our God-given responsibility. By the way, in the Old Testament, in the statutes, which Jesus did not do away with at all, talks about if a man be found breaking in and he's, of course, killed, no blood's to be shed.
Yeah.
You're to protect your family. That should be very a given, that we're to protect ourselves. And if we're going to follow that line of thinking, then the whole establishment of the United States was wrong. Our forefathers were wrong in fighting the Revolutionary War. And I know there's a lot of hard questions, but what I would ask her is, what leads her to think that we're not praying?
Right.
That we're not fighting spiritual warfare.
I know we are.
Disconnect this.
Yeah.
And I think that oftentimes we're just trying to sound spiritual, that, oh, well, I just pray about these things. Let me tell you something. A guy breaks into my house, he's killing my wife, my children, and I say, I'm just going to pray about this. I will cry out to God. But while I'm crying out to God, I will defend my family.
Amen.
It's so sad. I mean, we better rightly divide the word of truth. Don't get too far. No, don't take one thing way out and don't take the other way out. Yes, we should pray. And yes, we should be kind and good and gentle and we are all those things. But to go to that extreme saying that we shouldn't be armed, you go back in history, anywhere you want to go, and that was the whole essence of destroying biblical liberty to preach the gospel, was disarm the people, put them under totalitarianism. And so they couldn't preach the gospel. So now what have we got ourselves in? You can't even preach the gospel. You can't even witness to people. You can't hand out a tract. You can't preach because we're disarmed.
Right.
So I think, I appreciate her email and I appreciate her concern. But I think it's just a little, she needs to balance it out. And I'm sure she would appreciate if somebody pulled a gun up and, slammed her up against the wall and had a pistol against her head threatening to kill her. If somebody came in and rescued her, I would think she'd be appreciative. I'd be praying, Lord, send somebody in here to get this guy.
Amen. Amen.
I'd be praying, but I don't want to be mean or anything, but I'll be honest with you. I've heard so much of this liberal, progressive nonsense, I'm tired of hearing it. Go ahead.
Brother Dennis, let me ask you a question. I've got your website pulled up. It's been on the screen here for a while. People are taking a look at it. EarthOutdoor.net is the main website that they have, and you'll see all the different products. Then if you go to tactical.earthoutdoor.net, you pull up the guns and ammo, things like that. I see that you offer all types or many types of ammunition and guns on your particular website. But what is it specifically, what kind of ammo are you guys specifically manufacturing in plant down there?
Primarily, we make 5.56 and 9mm and 380.
Okay. And how many different types of guns do you think that those would go into? I've got the 5.56 ammo pulled up. You can get 500 rounds of that for $250. What all types of guns would that? Because some people are knowledgeable of guns, some people are not. So maybe just kind of talk about a little bit of what kind of guns that all those different ammos that you guys manufacture yourselves would go into.
Well, that pr- primarily, that round's primarily for the AR platform.
Okay.
Okay, it's not a round designed for the, you know, it's the same caliber as a 223, but it's not designed for the 223 hunting rifles.
Okay.
It's designed specifically for the AR platform.
And an AR is a semi-automatic rifle?
Yes.
Semi-automatic means that as fast as you can pull the trigger, a bullet shoots out of the end. That's opposed to fully automatic.
Folks, there's a misnomer out there that they're, you know, you're talking about machine guns. That is not a machine gun.
Right.
It's a gun that fires as you pull the trigger, and you can have capacities from 5 rounds to, you know, they make 30-round, 40-round, 100-round magazines for those guns.
A couple more questions for you. I'm assuming people can order from the website. Is that correct?
That's right. They can order straight off the website and have it shipped right to their house. Of course, if they purchase firearms now, they have to go through a licensed dealer. So those firearms would have to be shipped to a dealer in their area, and they would pick them up there.
All right. Thanks for clarifying that. But any future plans that you guys have down there for continuing this or maybe branching off into something bigger, anything like that? Do you have any future plans, or are you just going to stay the course right now and see what happens?
Mike, I'd say Republic's right now going to try to stay the course. We're still trying to work through, you know, the directional of this. I might mention to you that we're going to offer a special for the people that are listening to your broadcast today. That five, what we do when those bullets come out of the machine, they go into a plastic, weather-tight container with a handle on it you can just pick up, and it's also stackable. And there's 500 rounds in that.
I've got that featured right now. I've got it pulled up on the screen.
We're going to offer that day. We actually have a one-day sale coming up here next Saturday, but we're going to offer it on your radio broadcast to anybody on there at $199.
Wow.
$199. Basically $200. Get $50 off for a 500-round canister of 5.56s. So, you know, if somebody's interested in some, you know, shipping can be, it would be on top of that, of course. But our whole goal, again, is to, yes, we want it to be financially solvent, but to be honest about it, you know, we really don't make our living off of this. We just really believe that America is at a point in time when it's critical for the citizenry to be armed, and that's kind of a, again, I don't want to be deceitful. I'm not going to be deceitful. We intend to make a profit. We can make a decent little profit at that, but that's, you know, people, I'm assuming, I guess, that, you know, a lot of people would listen to this broadcast. You know, our people kind of like-minded. And,
right.
And, so another thing is, too, we do distributorships. If somebody wants to be a distributor, you know, and, you know, buy wholesale and sell. You don't need a license to sell ammo. You do to sell firearms, but not ammunition.
All right.
Well, again, going back to this thing of the importance of ammunition, you can have all the guns you want, but if you don't have ammo, you're in trouble. And so we do have this, you know, on today, for those who listen to this broadcast, we'll give a special rate on it, whether they want one can or, you know, dozens of cans.
Right.
So
there is somebody there.
I came in the other day about 25 cans.
Wow.
No, he had a gun stored in another area.
Yeah.
Something I do want to mention to you about this is that we make both full metal jacket and soft points. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of guys are using the soft points, you know, for hunting, you know, mm-hmm. deer season, coyotes and so forth like that. Full metal jackets are just more for really, you know, target practice, and, you know, use in what might be, you know, a civil uprising or war situations, full
right.
metal jacket. Let me say something. I want to say this every time I can when we're in a discussion. The Second Amendment, which is the amendment that all of our amendments really hinge on, is not about hunting.
Right.
It's absolutely not about hunting. It is about the citizenry protecting itself against a tyrannical, runaway government such as we have right now. I mean, anyone who's honest with himself knows that Obama is just basically ruling by fiat. He abhors Congress. He despises even the court system unless there are judges that rule in his favor. He has no time for his father was an avowed Marxist. I have
right.
read his father's thesis papers. He wanted nationalization of all industry, all land. He wasn't about Marxist, and you can't. And he wrote this book about his father, My Father's Dreams. And the American people better understand they have been fooled. Every person voted for him who loves freedom was fooled and deceived about him. This man would take away our freedoms in a heartbeat, and he's got lots of people who believe the same thing. And so we're into a, whether we like it or not, we can stick our head in the sand if we want to. But again, going back to this other thing, and on the 380s and the 9Ms, the same thing. You can get Full Metal Jacket for target practice or whatever like that. Or you can get, you know, a hollow point and soft points for hunting and such nature of that. But anyway, any other questions?
The website is tactical.earthoutdoor.net. Earth Outdoor Tactical is the company. Brother Dennis Martin, Pastor Reg Kelly, it's good to have you guys with us today. We appreciate your time. We appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate the stand that you take. And you can listen to Pastor Reg's sermons on sermonaudio.com. Just type in Reg Kelly or Liberty Faith Bible Church. He preaches out of the old King James. He stands for that book just like I do. And we appreciate that. Go to their website. An email that did come in a while ago, I think you answered the question. If you would like to be a dealer of some of the products that they offer there, like ammo and different things, I do also know that they manufacture wood furnaces. They do all their iron work down there. They manufacture I'm trying to say these shelters.
If you don't care. So if you're going to get into that, is this free advertising? How much do I pay for this?
No. This all you listen. You're going to cook me dinner when I come down.
Okay. What'd you say? Hang on just a second there. As you said a while ago, our basic Earth Outdoor came from Psalms. Actually, the whole concept of our company came from Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, where, you know, it talks about the words of the Lord are pure words. In a furnace of earth, and that's how we named our company, was from those words about the preservation of Scripture. And we wanted to honor the Lord with our business. And we got into the outdoor wood furnace manufacturing, and now that's moved on to we manufacture the industrial pellet biomass furnaces for huge buildings, warehouses, stores, poultry houses, and all that. But we also do above-ground storm shelters. They're FEMA-approved. We now have a line of fish cookers or outdoor cookers. You can go online and see those. Been endorsed by Wally Martin, the crappie man, and all that stuff. And there's just a lot going on. It's amazing the doors that the Lord has opened. And again, the gun store here. You know, we had a 50-caliber gun. We had one 50-caliber gun that everybody loved to come in and see. It was a single shot, 50 cal.
Okay? I've seen that.
They sold it the other day.
Ah!
They did that.
Maybe somebody bought it for my birthday.
Anyway, we have a lot of fun, and just want to really tell you, Mike, we appreciate you being here. Dennis, did you have something you wanted to share with him?
I wanted to say that if folks want to see the other products, want to see all the products that Earth manufactures, to go to earthoutdoor.com, and that'll take you to all of our websites.
Amen. Brother Reg, Brother Dennis, God bless you guys. Again, you can listen to Brother Reg's sermons on sermonaudio.com. Go to their website, get in touch with them, tell them you appreciate them, and God bless you guys, and we'll see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you.
You too, Brother Mike. Thank you.
Amen. Good time we had today. I'm going to take some emails that have come in that we didn't have time to respond to. During their interview, let me just kind of pull some of these up here. And while I'm doing that, let me just say this, to everybody that's listening. And I think this is very important. It's a very important idea to just keep in mind. I mentioned a little while ago, America is the last holdout, the last place in the world that still has the rights, the ideals, the things that you and I cherish. We have to all the people out there. And I've had several people email me on my stand on this gun issue and things like that and say, you know, Pastor, you know, ought to be praying. And I understand that. And I appreciate that. I agree with Brother Edge. Things ought to be balanced. You rightly divide the word and things like that. But here's, and I've spent a lot of time praying about this. And here's my thought. The Second Amendment in this country is It represents a closed door to tyranny. This is what it does. I have the right in this country to open my big fat mouth and preach out of the King James Bible, which in the churches right now is the most unpopular book to preach out of in churches. I agree with the idea that America has gotten itself in this position primarily because the church and churches across this country disarmed their people. They disarmed them by taking away the King James Bible out of their hand. People would come to church with a King James. This new hot rod pastor from fresh out of seminary would come in there and tell them over the course of 2 or 3 years, you cannot trust the King James. It's not right. It has mistakes in it. We have better translations. We have better manuscripts. Put down your weapons. And so church people, for the most part, laid down their weapons. People are asking me, you know, Pastor, what are we going to do? I need to know what to do in case they start coming to doors and saying, you know, hand over all your weapons. That's a question I've had in my mind. What are we going to do? I think the programs that are out there are deliberate. I think they are gauged. I think it is a slow process, but it is a sure process to one stage after another get the American citizen to willingly give up their arms. Willingly. No one in America has ever gone in any church and at force of gunpoint say to that church, put down your King James Bible or we'll kill you. That's never happened. What has happened is that the subtle coercion of the enemy has convinced people that weapon that is sharper than what the enemy has. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember, the strange woman in the book of Proverbs has a sharp two-edged sword. That's her tongue. That's her rhetoric. That's her philosophies. That's the way she talks. Our weapon is sharper than their weapon. And the devil knows that as long as God's people have the King James Bible, which is sharper, that he can't win. So his goal has been through the subtle coercion to convince church people, lay down that King James, you don't need it. We, the clergy, we, the people who are wearing the robes and the funny collars, we who have been to the seminaries and we have the doctorates, we will tell you what to believe. And I am a firm believer in two positions that absolutely go hand in hand. Number one, I'm a believer in the fact that you ought to protect yourself, your family, and your property with lethal force if you have to. I am an absolute believer in that. I am also an absolute believer in the fact that I must protect my soul, my family, my church, from the enemies of false doctrine, subtle persuasions, and the like. And the only way that I can do that is with the King James Bible. That's the only way that we can. And the lady wrote in the email a while ago, you're exactly right. Our weapons of spiritual warfare are not carnal. You cannot fight spirits in the flesh. This is why a lot of times when you are being hit with devils and they will go after you, trying to just feed yourself positive images and positive ideas, and I can do this, and I can overpower this, and I'm going to think positive thoughts because Joyce and Joel told me that it would work. those things won't work. You need spiritual armor and spiritual weapons to conquer spirits. Likewise, I believe in physical armaments, physical weapons, physical shields to arm yourself and guard yourself against a physical predator. And so what has happened? There is subtle coercion in the churches to remove the sharper than two-edged sword, to remove the shield against the fiery. You know what the fiery darts are, the devil? I think they're false doctrine. I think Eve saw what those fiery darts were. And I think that if you are being bombarded with false ideas, you need a shield called faith. Where does faith come from? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And it all boils down to, do you have a weapon? And so what we see going on in the spiritual realm, in the church, where the churches, one by one, have de-weaponized themselves. They've dropped the absolute infallible Word of God. They've laid it down. And then the enemy has come in with a replacement for biblical prayer. Biblical prayer is, God, help me. God, meet my needs. God, I need your help. That is asking. Biblical prayer is asking and giving supplications to God. The word supplication has the word supplies in it. God, we need supplies. We need help. That is biblical prayer, and it's right. But the new gurus that have slipped into the churches and slipped into the publishing houses and slipped into the Sunday school ministries of the denominations and the youth ministries and the music ministries and everywhere else, they have told these people, oh, that's not prayer. That's not really prayer. You quit doing that. We found this real ancient method for really getting in touch with God. It's called contemplative prayer, the Jesus prayer, the whisper prayer, the soaking prayer. And all of that stuff is everything but prayer. Because they put you on this guilt trip and they tell you, what, you pray and you're the only one talking? Well, how come in prayer you don't listen to God too? Listen, when I pray, I talk to God. When I'm ready to listen to God, I open up a can of King James. That's what I'm that's how God speaks right now. But you see, they have replaced that in the churches with a different kind of prayer that says, meditate. Don't say anything. Don't put things in your mind. Empty your mind out completely, and you're going to open a door so that this God on the inside of you is going to start speaking. And so the defense that a Christian has against false prayer, false Bibles, false doctrines, the Hebrew roots nonsense, going back and keeping the law, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, and all of the, and not just that, but all the stupid stuff that's poured into these churches, the positive confession witchcraft that Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and these others are practicing. The only way that you can fight that off is to have a shield of faith that has no holes in it whatsoever. Your Bible must be absolute and complete. And if your Bible is not, then where do you think? I mean, if I saw you and I was your enemy and I was going to attack you and I didn't know how to do it, but I saw a hole in your shield, where am I going to aim? At the hole. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go after you right there. And if you have, let me get it over here. If you have one of these fake Bibles that has holes all in it, they're not the Word of God. They're corrupt. They're fallible. They have errors in them. They have verses missing out of them. If you have one of those, that's exactly where the devil's going to get you, because you cannot defend yourself by the words that are in that book. Likewise, in this country, they want to stop people from preaching the old book. They want to stop people from preaching that Jesus is the only way. They want to stop people from preaching the blood atonement of Christ and that you're saved by grace through faith. They want to stop that. They want to stop the morals coming out of the pulpit, the idea of the Ten Commandments. They want to stop those things. They hate your guts. What's holding them back right now is that there is a door that is shut on the American public and the American citizens. That door is the Second Amendment. If they are successful in prying open the locked gate of the Second Amendment, let me tell you what I mean by that. The fact that we have not been conquered as a nation since our beginning is because, number one, we esteemed God's word. Number two, we all carried guns. That's a fact. The fact that we have not been conquered in this nation, either by an outside enemy, or as the oath of office says, that Barack Hussein swore on a Bible that he would protect and defend not the people, the Constitution. Because it is assumed under our Constitution in this country that if need be, the American people can defend themselves. And we can. We can skin a buck. We can run a trot line and a country boy can survive. We can defend ourselves. We may not do it with the military precision that some of the guys in the Army can, but we can defend ourselves. So the Constitution and the office of the president was not intended that he swear an oath to protect the American citizen. His oath of office was that he protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Can you imagine? Our founding fathers wrote that in there. You know why? Because they knew what God said about the heart of man. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And they knew that there was a possibility that an attack on our freedoms would come not from France, not from England, not from Russia. It would come from powers in our own government. Domestic enemies of the Constitution of the United States, and Barack Hussein lied through his teeth, putting his hand on God's word and swearing in front of millions of people all over the world that he was going to defend the Constitution against all enemies. And he's not doing it, and he's not going to. So here's the thing. A lot of you listening today have left your church. Why? Is it because you're rebellious? Is it because you don't like getting up and getting dressed? You'd rather sit around in your bunny slippers and drink coffee and eat donuts while you're listening to preaching? No. You'd give anything if you had a local King James Bible-believing church that didn't adulterate the Word of God, that didn't mess it up. You would give anything for that. But you left your church. Do you know why? You know why these people left their church? Because the people that were supposed to be responsible for giving them the protection they needed through the Word of God, and I'm talking about the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the denominational quarterlies, in other words, the Sunday school literature that comes out, and everything else, the people that they were counting on to bless and defend and protect their family failed to do so because he said the Bible is full of mistakes and we have a new paradigm we're going to give you. And so should they and their children sit there in a church defenseless against spiritual attacks when the man who is supposed to be defending them and protecting them in that church, the pastor, he himself is not going to do it because he don't believe the Bible anymore? Absolutely not. you did the right thing. And people are going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to call you names. They're going to say you're not saved because you don't go to church. They're going to say all these things to try to intimidate you and to weaken you. But you did the right thing. You have a mom and dad, you have a responsibility for your children and for your home to make sure that what they're being taught in your church and your Sunday school class and your youth groups is the Word of God and nothing else. Else, why would you go to church? Exactly. That's exactly right. So you decided to stay home. And of course, the Bible says they cease not in every home to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You have, as a believer, as much right to sit at home and be a follower of Christ as you do in church. And I am for church attendance. I am telling my people, come on, come to church. Come on, let's go. Let's get together. Boy, we love it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, in so much more as we see the day approaching, and we can see the day approaching. However, when that fails, and in that congregation, in that group, you cannot get the fellowship because they're not only are they not on the same page, they're not even in the same Bible. They're not even in the same book. You have every right to stay at home. A lot of you watch our services. That's why we do what we do. Because you said, if that pastor's not going to do it, we're going to have to do it ourselves. Now I'm going to flip that around and apply that to where we live right now. And I want you to listen to this. It's not that we are begging our government to give us the right to have rifles and shotguns and semi-automatic weapons. We already have them. We already have them. We don't think that we should have to ask our government to let us keep them. And if our government will not protect its citizens, and let me back up. If our government will not protect and defend our Constitution. This is the Constitution of Christianity, the written document. If our country, if our government will not defend the Constitution and protect it, then it falls upon the citizens to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. That, to me, is logical, it's sound, it's biblical, and it applies in both areas of life. It applies in the spiritual realm, and it applies in the physical realm as well. And here is the tyranny. They want to force sodomites upon your children. Do you believe that? I do. I absolutely do. I absolutely believe that removing the barrier of marriage. Remember, there's a conspiracy going on. Psalm chapter 2. Let us break their bands asunder. What do I have on my finger here? A wedding band. This ring is, I don't worship it, but it is a very sacred, special reminder to me that I am bound to a woman who I deeply love. She's even offered to buy me a new ring. And I said, no, this one's got a lot of stuff built into it. I'm going to keep it. That's a reminder to me. Every now and then, my wife will reach her hand over and she'll feel that ring. And I know what she's doing. I do the same thing with her. But they want to break the bands. They want to cast the cords from them. They want to be allowed. Let me just ask you just a legitimate question. Do you think that if the sodomites in this country got their way on marriage, on everything else in the world, do you think that it's finally going to rest? Already, since the Sodomites started challenging state laws on what a marriage is. Now the people are coming out, not the Sodomites, the animal lovers. That's all I'm going to say. And the animal lovers want the government to recognize marriage to an animal. I'm not making this up. And then, behind the animal lovers are the pedophiles who want to be... There is an organization called the North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA. It's been around for years. The pedophiles then are going to follow right along, and they're going to say, well, if Jimmy and Johnny can get married, and Jane and Jill can get married, and Al and Rover can get married, then I want to be like the Muslims who marry 5-year-old little girls. Can you see it coming now? You see where it's going? And then, see, they're not going to stop there either. They're going to keep going, because when you look into, go study the Bible, go study Genesis 18. They didn't just want to ask the angels if they wanted a date. They beat on that door and they demanded them to come out. You see, it turns from a right to an absolute, where the Sodomites, the animal lovers, the child molesters, and everybody will be knocking at a door saying, you send your child out. You send your daughter out here. You send your son out here. Our government has said we have a right to have your child. You think I'm making that up? Go read Genesis 18. It's there. What is it? What is it that will stop that? Second Amendment. What is it that will stop the absolute tyranny of an evil, oppressive governmental system? What is it that stands between your right to pray, your right to believe the scriptures, your right to preach the scriptures, and your right to say, sodomy is gross, it's disgusting? What right, what protects that right? The force of the pen on the paper, the Constitution. The Constitution gave itself power by saying, the right of the people to keep and to bear arms shall not be infringed. So here's the door, and it's closed to tyranny. And I know a lot of people like Alex Jones, they throw that word tyranny out every time he's got to write a check to pay taxes. Oh, this is tyranny. This is the tyranny by the government. Every time you get pulled over a speeding ticket, he's a tyrannical cop is what he's doing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about absolute despotism, tyranny, making you think and believe and do against your will whatever they make you feel and do in every area of life. That's tyranny. What's the door that stands between tyranny and freedom? It's the Second Amendment. If they can get the American citizens to voluntarily lay down their weapons, they'll just come in and take whatever they want, and you can't do a blasted thing about it. And if you say no, you're dead. That's how it is. Had it not been for the two angels and their power that they had, Lot's door would have never withstood the force of all of the men and boys from every quarter of Sodom. They would have beat that door in and taken what they wanted. And to show you the depravity of the Sodomites of that day, Lot offered them his two virgin daughters and said, I'll send them out for you. And they said, no, we don't want them. We want the boys. That's what we want. We want those two glowing men that we saw go into your house. We're drawn to them. That's what we want. They would have kicked his door in and taken what they wanted had the angels not used force against those men. Did you hear that? The angels did not stand at the door with it partially open and saying, guys, can we work something out? Can we just talk about this? Can we do this? The angels didn't do that. The angels used force. Did God use force with Sodom? Oh, absolutely. God fired one shot and destroyed five cities with it. God used force. God used lethal force. That's what he did. Something that I've never confessed to Brother Reg. I've never told him this. My nature is that I'm a pacifist. I am. That's my nature. I ran away from every fight that my mouth started when I was a kid. Ran away from it all. Went crying to Mama. Mommy hit me. He hit me down there. And my mom said, hit him back. That's what my mom told me. I didn't. I'm a pacifist. I just don't like getting in. I don't like getting heated arguments. I don't like getting in confrontation with somebody. I don't like it. That's why I sit in here in this room all by myself. I can say whatever I want to. But if I have to, I will. Not for me. For my family, for my church, for my people. I'm sure we have a lot of interesting emails to read. Joseph says, show them the ad in this email, and it will make so much about this issue very clearly. Let me click that. I'm not sure I follow y'all. I'll have to read it later, all right? Anita! Writing from Canada, the 51st state. I'm just kidding. Dear Pastor Mike, I've tried to listen with an open mind about it being biblical to be able to defend oneself. Now, hold on, Anita. Out of fairness, a majority of what we've discussed on this program and in the video we did, God, Guns, and Liberty, the conference, the overwhelming majority, of what we discussed had nothing to do with self-defense. It had everything to do with defending the very weak people around us. My wife is weak. My daughters are weak. One of them's pretty tough. My 10-year-old boy, Caleb. He can't defend himself. What am I to do? What am I to do? We're going to go to the YMCA tonight. He's playing in a winter basketball league. Doing pretty well, I might add. Okay? Papa's pretty proud of him. What am I to do if we go to the YMCA tonight and he ventures into the locker room and some man's on top of him? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to bargain with the man? Am I supposed to ask him nicely? Am I supposed to sit down and wait till he's done? I will shoot him dead and not feel bad about it if some man is hurting my son who could not defend himself. It's not about defending ourselves. It's about defending our families, our beliefs, our faith, our right. China does not let its citizens keep and bear arms. And if you are a true Bible believer, I'm not talking about the TBN state-approved Christianity. I'm talking about true Bible believer in China or North Korea. I read an article the other day, Kim Dumb Junk or something like, what is his name? Kim Dumb Junk from North Korea killed 33 people of his own country for believing in Christianity. He did that, I think, as a symbol. I think there's a spirit in him, too. Those people had the ability, if they would have had the ability, to defend themselves. We're just defending the right that we have to meet and assemble and talk about what's in this book. Because when they kick the door down of the Second Amendment, they're coming in for everything. So, Anita, again, I'm not trying to be adversarial to you, but I'm addressing your point. You said it's about defending ourselves, and that's not what we're talking about. Anyway, let me read on. Still not convinced. We'll keep on researching and listening. What comes to mind are the Christians in other countries who are faced with all kinds of horrors. I'm with you. They die without defending themselves. Jesus said, all men will hate you because of me. I agree. What about the disciples who were killed? Not one of them defended themselves that we know of. Jesus didn't defend himself either. Having a hard time hearing the defines for this argument, but I won't close the door just yet. Again, Anita, I think you misunderstand the issue. Absolutely. I have, and I've told people this before, it makes my wife uncomfortable to think about it, so I don't talk about it much. But I have asked God several years ago, God, when I die, I want to die in your service. I want to die for your kingdom, somehow, some way. That's what I want. I would really like to do that. I'd like that more than anything. But I can't ask my wife and children to feel the same way that I do about my own death. I can't ask them. Now, sweetie pie, children, grandchildren, listen to Grandpa now. I've asked God to, you know, let me die in service for him. So that means that you guys have to go along with that. And I'm going to expect you to die the same way. I'm not asking them that. It's not self-defense that we're talking about here. I could not care less what happens to this wicked, ragged, filthy pile of mud and dirt that this poor soul has on the outside of him. I couldn't care less. But I do care about my family and about my congregation and about my church. I care about the defense of the faith, and I care about whether or not my children and my grandchildren, Anita, are going to have the same freedom that I have right now. Do you really think that by the time our grandchildren grow up and mature, that there's going to be a whole lot left of this country? I don't think so. So, respectfully, Anita, this doesn't have anything to do with self. It has everything to do with a moral obligation, a biblical obligation. And I want to challenge you and encourage you. I laid out what I thought was the best biblical case for why a Christian should defend their family, their property. God gave it to Israel to defend their land. God gave it to Israel to defend their land. It's just property. But that property was their livelihood. God gave it to Israel to defend that. And only God can take it away, and he did. So if God sees fit to take away my weapons, God can have them. But anybody else is going to have to fight for it. James, it's not just the Democrats. It is bigger than just one specific political party. I'm sure you know what I'm saying. Police officials are going to worry more about their job security than the freedoms of the Constitution. And I think, and I would agree with you, James, on a lot of that, but I think it depends on the location. As I say, in our county, and I'm there with Brother Reg, in our county, our sheriff has, Sheriff Glenn Boyer, who's got, I don't know how many years, 20-some-odd years on the job, has already made it known, and he is a Democrat, that he is going to side with President Obama on any gun issue that comes down the pike to Jefferson County, Missouri. And I'm going to remember that the next election. I am. I hope that Jefferson County has enough brains to vote in a guy who will say, like all these other sheriffs around the country have said, that they will say, we will defend the Constitution, and any federal gun policy you send down our way, I promise you, we will not only will we not allow it in our county, but if you send agents to our county to enforce a gun regulation from the federal government in our county, we will arrest them and put them in prison. That's what we're going to do. And a guy in our church, Brother Wayne, sent a letter to Sheriff Glenn Boyer, said, well, you gonna stand with us, or you gonna stand against us? And he made it clear he's going to stand with the federal government on it. Vote him out. However, I've talked to my niece is a Jefferson County deputy. And I love her. Man, I'm so proud of her. Oh, I'm so proud of her. She's a good girl. She's like my sister, man. She's tough. Whew. And I've talked to some officials. I've talked to Festus policemen. I've talked to Crystal City policemen. And they said, Mike, you're doing the right thing in your church. We get these calls all the time. You're doing the right thing in your church. So it does depend on the location. It depends on who you're dealing with. Lauren, Pastor Mike, I'm a single woman living in New York City. I do not have a gun, nor is getting armed in New York City a possibility. So what am I to do in the coming collapse? I appreciate what you're all saying, but it leaves me frightened without any practical advice about what I should do. Lauren, let me say this as a matter of practicality. Now, before I say this, I am not the Holy Ghost telling Lauren what I want her to do. Lauren, I'm not the Holy Ghost. Okay? And maybe it would be a near impossibility for you to do this. But I don't live in the city for a reason. I don't live in the city. I don't live in St. Louis. I have no desire to live in St. Louis. I don't see me living in St. Louis in any time in the near future or distant future. I don't see it happening. When I first read your email, the first verse that came to my mind is, come out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. And I think there's a point to be made about people living in these large cities. I'm telling you, you are going to be the easiest to conquer. The absolute easiest people to conquer. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, Lauren. I really am not. But if you have the possibility of moving out of New York City, whether it's Queens, the Bronx, Yonkers, or any other place, I think I would. I absolutely think I would. It's cheaper to live out in the country. Okay, and it smells better too. Okay? Believe me. Having a cow field next to your house, it's not bad. It's not as bad as you think it is. Okay? Pigs are a different story. But having a cow pasture next to your house is not bad at all. Okay? And I'm just saying, I know that's not answering your question. Okay? In that case there, since you do not have the physical ability to protect yourself. Well, let me ask you this. I don't know the laws in New York City. What I have by the state of Missouri is a legal right to conceal a weapon on my person that nobody knows it's there. I have that right, and that's a big deal. But there is no law that I'm aware of in the state of Missouri that says I cannot have weapons in my own home. I don't know what it's like in New York City, but I got guns all throughout my house. And there's, as far as I know, there's no law against it. So you think about that, all right? Let's see here. Thomas says, I have a question. If the police end up coming to my home for my weapon, do I end up having to give it up, or what do I do according to Scripture? I don't see myself opening fire on the police department. And I agree. Thanks for everything. God bless you, preacher. Sincerely in the Savior, Tommy. That's a good question. I think, and I may be wrong, and I mentioned this earlier, I think that the gun haters are going to do exactly what the Bible haters are doing. Slowly but surely indoctrinate an entire generation of people to such an extent that they will never buy or pick up a gun in their whole life. I think, and I want you to hear me out, devils know better than to come at me, bro, with false doctrine. And I'm talking like major false. I'm not talking about stuff that I just don't quite understand yet. I'm talking about false, stupid, idiotic doctrine. They know better than that. It's not going to happen. Who they target, who I see they target, is our children. They're coming after our children with false doctrine because they can win them over easily. And I see happening in this country, I'm not so sure that they actually have a gun confiscation program planned that would start a war. I may be wrong. I may be wrong. That would start a war. But I'm not sure that that is the best plan. It's like America and Russia building all these nuclear weapons, and it occurs to them, the mad doctrine, mutually assured destruction, it occurs to both of them that if one ever decides to use a nuclear weapon, the other one's going to respond with 20 of them, and then their side is going to respond with 1,000 of them, and we're not going to win. There is no way to win a nuclear war. And so they've just decided we're probably never going to use it. And so I think there is coming a time. The education programs are there, the implementation of, as Brother Red said, drying up the powder, drying up the sources of bullets. Guns would be useless without ammunition. I think that's their goal. I don't think they're going to come and ask you for your guns. I think they're going to go through the back door and keep you from buying bullets because there just aren't any. Why? The government done bought them all up. So think about that one. Joseph. Let's see here. This is another link, shows how messed up things are getting. It's a YouTube video. I can't play that right now, Joseph. Joseph. Another Joseph. Which King James Bible is the one we should buy? Get you a... I can never remember if it's Cambridge or Oxford. BearingPreciousSeed.com. Go there. Bearing Precious Seed, that's our Bible dealer. All right? And I'm pretty sure they have the right one. David says, thank you, Pastor, for having Brother Reg on today. What I see in Canuck land, that's Canada, I know that, is that guns have been demonized. Lately, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, RCMP, have been arbitrarily confiscating guns that they don't want people to have, and of course, everyone just rolls over. Regarding KJV, my experience is we authorized Bible people are ridiculed by churches, and if there are any checkers in the past, like divorce, mainline church people feel that they have more reason to dismiss you as crackers. We love you and your church and the Word. Thank you, David. Your comments are awesome. Let's see here. Bruce, what about what God says in the book of Romans? And he's shouting it at me. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I listen, you're talking to the guy who has taken a lot of flack for daring to preach Romans 13 exactly the way it is in the King James Bible. I have been called a shill for the New World Order. I have been called a guy that's just going to roll over and turn my people over to the FEMA trucks as they go take us to the death camps. That's what they've said about me. It's insane that I cannot preach Romans 13 exactly the way it's written without being accused of something. So, Bruce, I'm your guy when it comes to Romans 13. But ask yourself this question. What is the authority in America? What is the legal recognized authority in America? It's the Constitution. That is the higher power in this country. The Constitution is higher than the sheriff, than the mayor, the governor, the judges, the House of Representatives, the Senate, the President of the United States, and every citizen and every five-star general in the United States. There is a higher power than them, and it's called the Constitution. That's what I'm going to listen to. That's what I'm going to live by. That is the higher power that's over me, and I will not resist the Constitution of the United States of America. I am with you 100%. That's my stand on it. Our government has a contract with the American citizen. It's called the Constitution. It limits the government's powers. It limits those powers. And it says what the federal government does and what the states do. The states have rights that supersede the federal government. I don't know if you know that or not. They call them states because that's what they are. They are individual nations, individual countries inside of a federal republic. It's a republic of states. And in Missouri, we have rights that supersede the rights of the federal government. That's in the Constitution. And just because a politician comes along and doesn't like it, that doesn't mean snap to me. My obligation, biblically, according to Romans 13, my obligation is to the Constitution and not the man. Similarly, try saying that, similarly, your obligation, Bruce, in a situation where your pastor says, everybody stand up, I'm going to slap you on the head and you're going to be murdered in your spirit. And you have to do it because I'm your preacher and I said so. I'm under no obligation in the Bible to follow that man or to listen to what he said, because what he said is in direct constitution to the final authority of my spiritual life, which is this Bible. So I'm with you on Romans 13. I believe you ought to obey the higher powers, higher ones. And in this nation, there is a higher power than the president, than the Congress, than all the law enforcement agencies. It's called the Constitution. Likewise, in Christianity, there is a higher power, higher than all pastors, higher than denominations, higher than Zondervan Publishing, higher than the Pope. It's the King James Bible. You ask me to abide by the King James? I will. You ask me to abide by the Constitution? I will. You ask me as a preacher or an elected official to contradict either one, and I will say, stuff it up your nose. I'm not doing it. Oh, maybe I'll say it in a little bit better language. Surely thou stuffest. All right. Let's see here. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Caroline, excuse me. What time is it? Those using the perverted Bibles need to remember they have no spiritual armor of God to wear because they cannot wear the girdle of truth. Go study. Caroline, you brought up an interesting thing. Who was it? Was it Ezekiel? That God told him to take a cloth and gird his loins with it, and he did. He said, here, put these underwear on. So he put them on. God said, take them off. So he took them off, and he said, go over there by the banks of the river and shove it up under a rock and leave it there. So he did. He left it there. Now, God said, I don't know how long it was later. He said, now go back and dig them out of there. You remember that? He said, yeah. He said, go back and dig them out and put them on. And he pulled them out, and sure enough, they were rotted and full of holes and everything like that. And God said, that's Israel right there. That's what they've done to my laws and my statutes. Good point, Caroline. Anyway, they have no spiritual armor to wear because they cannot wear the girdle of truth because they have taken the truth out of the Bible and their feet is not shod with the gospel of truth. Let's see here. Mike. PM. Can you put a link section on your new website to Pastor Kelly's website? Jazz, if you're listening, knock yourself out. What I will do, let me type this in, www.PastorMikeHoggard.com. Write that down, PastorMikeHoggard.com. What I'm doing right now, right while we are sprecking with one another, is that I am logging in to my personal blog, PastorMikeHoggard.com, and I am going to put a link there, if I remember how to do it. Hang on here. I got to go back here. I'm not doing it the right way. Here we go. New post. Link. Earthoutdoor.com. There we go. Earthoutdoor.com. Pastor Reg Kelly's website. I need to capitalize the K in Kelly because it looks stupid. And I'm going to publish that link. Voila! It's up. PastorMikeHoggard.com. And you can go to Pastor Kelly's website. Just click that link. It says Pastor Reg Kelly's website. Just click that. It'll take you right to it. All right? Good suggestion. I appreciate you saying that. Anyway, he said, I myself have a problem with killing a man. I do too. I also have not been able to hunt, which I love to do, but for some reason a few years back I got to where I could not clean what I killed. My tummy wouldn't take it. Well, I understand that. So I gave up hunting. I'm a firm believer in if you can't clean it, don't kill it. I like you. I also have a fear that if for some reason this country gets to the point of defending the laws of our nation, that it gets to the point of physical defense, that once that switch is thrown in me, that I will become as Joshua. I get what you're saying. The difference is he had our Lord's permission. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I do. And see, here's the thing. Mike, not everybody in the world, especially not all men, are emotionally or even physically equipped to pull the trigger on someone. And I get it. I absolutely do. Stand behind the guy that can do it. Okay? Stand behind the guy that can do it and say, I'm behind you 100%, okay, for my own safety. So I get what you're saying. Oh, well, praise the Lord. I have enjoyed today. I hope that you have too. I hope that you have at least been provoked to think about this issue, because I have. You think about it. You examine it as we do in the light of Scripture. get a copy of the video, God, Guns, and Liberty, and you can see from the scripture what my reasoning is. You can also get a copy of the conference that we had here with Pastor Rich. Just call us or email us, and we'll get that to you, or you can download them free of charge from the internet. They're all over the place. Go listen to some more of Pastor Reg's preaching at sermonaudio.com. Liberty Faith Bible Church is the name of his church. Pastor Reg and I are good friends. We don't see eye to eye on everything. Who cares? We both believe the King James Bible, all right? So I will be down there on May the 4th, Sunday. I'm going to try to record those and bring them back for you. Brady's going to be covering for me the Red River Prophecy Conference coming up the weekend of March 30th. I'm going to be speaking Friday night at 8, on the 28th, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon on the 29th, and Sunday morning on the 30th I'll be preaching. And we will, I believe, be simulcasting that conference when I'm going to be preaching. I was talking to Michael about it this morning. All right? Hey, God bless you. I love you. Pray for peace. That's what the Bible tells us to do first. Pray for peace. And then if it doesn't happen, load. All right? God bless you. I love you. See ya.